Thanks for tuning in to Christian Devotion Speak Up, the show where Christian leaders come on and share their saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and how He brought them to serve the kingdom in a big way. I'm your host, Scott McCausey, and I welcome you to stick around and hang out with us. We've got a great show planned just for you. So for the next 60 minutes, turn off the television, turn up your computer speakers, and get ready to learn about Christ through our guest testimony and our ministry. This is Christian Devotion. Speak up!
Chris Lindsay is going to be up first. He's a contributing author of TheologyMix.com. He's a military chaplain and a guy with a heart for Christ.
Social networking, on-demand programming, and media streaming have changed the way couples and kids relate, react, and worship. Can we keep family devotions in our loop? Faith and Family, a devotional pathway for families, brings mom and dad, sister and brother together for a small dose of God's Word and wisdom. Each devotion presents a story or situation dealing with a contemporary issue. Questions are included at the conclusion of each devotion to help start a discussion and encourage families to pray together. These short slices of personal testimonies offer instant inspiration and thoughtful reflection, making this book the perfect addition to any family. Faith and Family, a devotional pathway for families, published by Lighthouse Publishing of the Carolinas.
And we're back live, and I've got Chris with me. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad I could have another contributing author at TheologyMix.com. I love that website, and listeners, you can go there and check that out as well. And we're going to talk, Chris, about some of the articles that you've written, because, you know, you've definitely got a great skill in writing, and some of these things touch chords. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate your honesty. But we'll get to all that in a second. Let's start at the beginning of your life, Chris. Let's have you share a little bit about where you grew up. Was this in a Christian home? Did you have brothers and sisters?
I did grow up in a Christian home, and I have two younger brothers. We grew up as pastor's kids. We were PKs. So my entire life, my parents have been involved in ministry. And because of that, I was raised in the church. I remember very clearly my mother explaining to me the significance of the cross when I was probably around 6 or 7 years old. And there in the entryway of our house in Southern California is when I accepted Jesus in my own life. And I tell you, I've got a testimony that has been one that's been kept close to Jesus the whole time. I never had a period of running from Him. And I've been very fortunate in my life to have God as a foundation element in my life from the time I was young.
Amen. You know, a lot of guests come on and they don't have that. They don't have that connection to parents that have trained them up as Scripture mandates that moms and dads are supposed to do. Obviously, that meant a lot to you. And today, you've got a wife and some kids. And you want to do those same kind of things and train up your family, I'm sure. What would you say to the listener right now that's trying to figure out this crazy thing called life and have a better understanding of what it means to train up their family? What would you share to them in regards to a piece of advice to help them along that road?
One of the biggest pieces is this. Remember that when kids are still young, it's okay to mess up because they will not remember it when they get older. So I think God has built in a lot of leeway in the way He has wired the human brain so that kids don't remember our biggest mistakes and that parents have time to grow and to understand what works, what doesn't work. And so there's a bit of grace that God has hardwired into our brains from kids. And I hold on to that grace on days when I blow it with my kids. And I just tell myself, they won't remember this in 3 or 4 years, and if I recover now, then I don't have to deal with this later on. And I think that's a big thing, because God is a God of grace, and so to see that play out as a parent is just as important as it is in any other relationship. So I think that's the big thing, understanding that if we slip one day or 1 week, we have time to get back on track.
Yeah. You know, and if we're into the Word daily, as we should be, if, you know, we have that true love for Christ, we are giving those types of examples. Anywhere you turn, the Old Testament, New Testament, we see these things of failures. But hopefully what we can do, as you were mentioning, is learn from those mistakes so that we don't make them again. Because so often in life, We see somebody make a mistake, and then they make it again. They make it again. They don't learn from it. But, my goodness, that's one of the reasons I think that the Lord gives us his word, so that we can learn from those things, so that when we're training them up, you know, they someday will have that that strong foundation. You know, there's something else that's also important when we make that mistake with our kids, how we approach them after that. You know, apologizing to a child can be pretty tough sometimes as well. I mean, it can be very humbling. How do you go about that?
I came to a decision in my life a few years ago that if I blew it, and I recognized that I blew it with my kids, that I would go and I would apologize and not just say, oh, I'm sorry you're crying, but I would a genuine apology. I am sorry for what I did. I should not have done that to you. And if I had the chance to do it over again, I would have done it differently because the way I behaved was not right. Would you please forgive me?
Amen.
And so far, my kids are only 8, 5, and 3 right now. But so far, when that happens, and I humbly say, I'm sorry, I should not have behaved this way, every time they've said, I forgive you, Daddy, I love you.
It's important. It's an important progression for our children to see that they can do this too when you know, they have these mistakes as well, and that they can take those to Jesus Christ. Now, you also craft words almost as a strategist. I mean, some of these articles that I read, I just love it. How did this begin in your life? Did you write stories as a boy, or, you know, maybe as a teenager?
I don't remember writing as a hobby when I was younger. Being in ministry, I've written sermons and devotional material for a long time.
Yes.
So one of the things I've done as when I was a staff pastor some years back is one of my roles was to write devotional and Bible study material for small groups. And that fit right in with how I was naturally gifted by God. So I've been writing devotional material and trying to be intentional on provoking thoughtfulness for years. And then a couple of years back, my wife said, have you ever thought about blogging? I said, no, not really. And she's the one who said, I think you should look into this. It's a way of getting your thoughts out to an audience that goes beyond just your pulpit. And so I thought, that's a fantastic way of expanding ministry. And so I started up with my own personal blog and started writing, and it just kind of developed from there.
Share with our listeners what your blog is so they can check it out.
Sure. My blog is chrislindsay.wordpress.com. I haven't paid yet to make it, to take out the WordPress, but I call it the Bible Blotter, and it's a devotional blog, and the one primary goal that overrides everything I do there is trying to take the Bible and help people turn the Bible into practical behavior.
Yes.
I don't want to be simply highfalutin thoughts, but how can we take what we think and believe and actually do something about it?
You know, learning to craft words, whether you're writing them or saying, is a pretty tough chore. And I love that you shared that, you know, a lot of your writings, you know, through these last years have been as a preacher, putting together sermons, and writing devotions. Because I was at the Christian Devotions Writers Conference here last month, and of course I do some preaching here in Michigan, and so what most of my writing in is also sermons and questions for asking, you know, for guests on the program. But it is so important, the words that we choose and that we use to honor God with, and that can be a progression. It takes time to learn how to do that well. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And so I'm a big advocate of reading and study. If you want to get better at something, you've got to just immerse yourself in the subject. And so I'm almost always working on one or two professional development books, trying to glean insights from other people who do it better.
Great piece of advice right there. Now, I know you're a pastor today, and you talked about that, writing sermons. That's probably something you always wanted to do as a kid. How spot on am I with that?
Actually, no. It is not. And
okay.
In fact, my own story is a little bit of a Jonah story, because not only was I a PK, you know, a pastor's kid,
yes,
but I'm a pastor's grandkid. My grandfather and my father are both ministers, so here I was, a third generation, and my fear was, I'm going to get into ministry because it is the only thing that I know.
Mm.
And I was terrified of that, of being thrown into ministry for no other reason except that it was the family business and I had nothing else to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was in high school, I said, forget this, I am going to join the military. And I started the application process to go to the United States Naval Academy and become a Navy line officer.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was pursuing that process, God got a hold of me and said, listen up, dummy. That's God's affectionate word for me. He calls me dummy.
Right.
He said, listen up, dummy. I'm not having you go into ministry because it's what your dad and your grandfather do. It's your own personal calling.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I realized, okay, this is me, not just family tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped the application to become a naval officer, and I went to Bible college to prepare for ministry.
Mm, very, very good. Very good. So you're off to Bible college. You know, here's an interesting question. I was taking a look at some of the things that I found on the web about you. The thing that popped in my mind is you graduated in 2001 from Vanguard University. I think I got that right. Then got a master's in 2008. What happened in between? There's like 7 years. What were you doing?
I was on the extended study program.
Okay.
real life kicked in. I graduated from Vanguard in 2001, which ironically is where John Snyder went, who is one of the founders of TheologyMix.com.
Yes.
So John and I have that funny connection, which we didn't even realize. I didn't even realize until a little while ago. Graduated in 2001, went right into the graduate program in biblical studies, and I did most of my coursework, but then marriage came, and then job, and real life just kept coming up, and the final few parts of the massive reading and writing project, I just couldn't get myself to do it until a few years after that. I finally said, all right, I've got to just crank this out, and so I finally did my exit work on the authority of Scripture and got the degree and said, all right, I'm done.
So here you are, you're moving along in life, and then you're called back into the Navy, I'm assuming, as a chaplain. Why don't you share about that progression?
Sure. I had did my first graduate degree in biblical studies.
Okay.
And then I was hanging out with my dad and my brothers. We were there for my baby brother's wedding, and both my dad and my younger brothers are all in the Army. They're active duty Army.
Okay.
My dad is a chaplain, and my brothers were in different branches of the Army. And I just thought, you know, I'm missing out on the camaraderie. And it reminded me of what I was drawn to when I was in high school, wanting to go into the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home, and I said to my wife, I said, what do you think about getting into the military? And she said, okay. So because my dad and my brothers were in the Army, I went that way and wound up in the Army Reserves as a chaplain. And so for 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year, I put on my uniform, and I'm a minister in uniform to the military. And then also on the civilian side, I'm still a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Is that a joy to be a part of, you know, the Army as a chaplain? And even though it's not, you know, a long-term service thing, maybe share about that a little bit.
It is an absolute pleasure. An intense joy I get from serving in the military as a chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
All of the, every job will have its ups and downs, naturally. But there are so many benefits that I see from being a minister in the service that it's unlike anything else I've experienced, to the point where in any given unit, you're going to have a range of beliefs and faith backgrounds. But I'm the chaplain for all of them. It doesn't matter if they're Christian like I am, or Jewish, or Muslim, or Buddhist, or even atheist. I am still their chaplain, and I'm responsible for their spiritual well-being. And so I just get to visit with everybody regardless of their faith background. And I've had some of the most hardcore atheists brighten up when I walk into their office.
Interesting.
Not because they know I'm there to preach at them, because they know I'm there to care for them and love on them. And a lot of times I will come with cookies or donuts.
That always helps, doesn't it?
It does. It kind of softens hearts and opens doors, and they see me walk in and they say, "Hey, Chaplain," and I say, "Hey, guys, how you doing?"
Yes. You know, okay, so that's interesting, too. So I've read quite a few of your articles on TheologyMix.com, as well as your website that you mentioned is and throughout there. How much has being in this role as chaplain affected some of the articles that you've written, some of the thought processes by talking to so many different people of different backgrounds? What does that do for you in your faith walk and your thought process, and help you to craft words to, again, get the love and joy of Jesus Christ out there?
Sure, that's a great question. I think one of the things that serving in uniform has helped me with more than anything else is my ability to communicate to people without using Christian lingo. Because while those of us who have been part of the church for any number of years might understand the ins and outs of our religious slang,
sure,
everybody else who's on the outside has no understanding of that.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. So we talk about some things, and it goes completely over their head. And if they even were interested, now all of a sudden they tune us out because we're using insider language that they can't follow.
Mm-hmm.
So being a chaplain to some crusty soldiers and sailors has kind of forced me to be intentional with how I use words in a way down barriers that move away from the inside of a church and more towards everybody's everyday life, where people can say, "Okay, now I'm tracking with you."
That makes sense. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the articles you've written. Some of them would be considered a bit controversial. I mean, I shared one of your articles that you had posted on Theology Mix that has started quite a stir on my Facebook page. But what I appreciate, you know what? What I appreciate is the thought that you put into your posts, and you back up your posts by grounding them in the Word. And that's the key. I mean, if we can stand on the solid ground that God gives us in His Word, I mean, game over, really. And that opens
right
up for some great dialogue. Here's my question. It concerns me that there's so much dissension among those who call themselves brothers and sisters in Christ when something comes up that might be controversial. Does this concern you, Chris, you know, that the battle maybe shouldn't be amongst ourselves sometimes, but against Satan and his evil?
Actually, that is a huge concern, a big problem, and something that I am really passionate about. I remember one of my early professors drilled into me, when the Bible speaks loudly, we speak loudly. Mm. When the Bible speaks softly, we speak softly. And when the Bible is silent, just shut up. And
the point being
this, that when the Bible is very clear and not ambiguous about something, that is a time when we draw the line in the sand and we say, this is important.
Yes.
And from my understanding, most of that kind of stuff revolves around salvation in Jesus Christ and the cross. Key elements to the faith that we will never back down on, that we should never back down on, and we say, this is a sticking point, and I will not be moved from this.
Yes.
There are some times when the Bible speaks softly. We might find a couple passages that relate to an issue, or there might be something that might be implied, but it's not so direct. That's the time where we can say, well, it seems to me that the Bible says this and this, but I'm not willing to draw a line in the sand.
Mm.
And then those other times where the Bible doesn't speak, a lot of people like to insert their own opinion and say, well, I think that this is right or wrong, even if there's nothing biblical to support it.
Right.
And so my personal pet peeve is when we speak loudly when the Bible speaks softly, or not at all.
Or not at all. That's right. I see that all the time. And it got, you know, the post I shared started to get a bit that way. I was like, look, folks, okay. I can see where one side's speaking, I can see where the other side's speaking, but this isn't worth, you know, causing some kind of a division over. But those can be tough. Those can be tricky circumstances.
Sure.
You also have a ministry called The Church Plant. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Sure. The Church Plant is a digital missionary endeavor. That's kind of how I describe it. But there's a lady in my church who is 78 years old, who came to me one day and said, the future of the church is online. I said, I don't understand. And she said, even my great-granddaughter has her own tablet. That is how people are connecting with each other around the world now. And if you are not online reaching people, then you're missing a huge opportunity for the gospel. I decided, okay, I'm going to launch a gospel endeavor where I preach, I share the Bible, and worship songs and devotionals globally through this church plant. So it's a digital missionary endeavor, kind of like missionaries in the 30s and 40s who would send a radio broadcast across closed borders when foreign countries wouldn't let the missionary actually go in.
Very good.
So that's
good.
Kind
that
of the purpose. And then we tie it into practical ministry. We support some missionaries around the world. A few months ago, we were able to help some missionaries in the Philippines who are doing a project for a local public school. We're currently running a fundraiser to help missionaries in Africa who run a couple orphanages. So the one thing I've been accused of is trying to replace the traditional church with this digital church. And what I try to tell people is I'm not trying to replace anything. I'm trying to supplement the physical church through digital media. I think that a physical Church of Jesus is important for fellowship, for discipleship, for worshiping together. I think it's crucial. So I'm not trying to replace any of that. I'm saying, how can we use digital media to enhance that and to get the gospel out in ways that a physical church might not be able to reach?
Amen. Very, very good. Well, Chris, we're about out of time here, but what's next? I mean, you're going to continue to plow some articles into theologymix.com. Maybe share how you found out about that website and what your thoughts are about that website in itself.
I think it's a great website. I connected with the Snyders on social media, and they're the ones who ran this idea by me and said, we're going to do this. Would you like to be a contributor? I said, that sounds fantastic because I love writing. I love blogging. Even if no one reads it, I still write for me. Getting my thoughts out on paper helps me. So I said, sure, I'd be happy to be a contributor. And so they said, whenever you have a piece, just send it on up and we'll take a look at it. So they've been very gracious in letting me participate. I love doing that. One of the things that is great about theologymix.com is that you have a whole variety of writers that don't share the same faith tradition. all Christian, yes, but within that Christian umbrella, there's such a wide variety. And I'll be honest, I don't agree with all of them. And there are sometimes when I'll see an article, I'll think, oh, man, he posted another one. but I think that overall, having a multitude of voices is healthy for the Christian church because it allows people to come to an honest decision where we examine the Bible for ourselves and we come to a decision and say, well, this is what I believe. And Theology Mix allows us to do it in a way that we might disagree with each other, but we still come to we come to the table with that core understanding that we are all part of the Christian umbrella.
Amen. Amen. You know, I've read some articles, and there's been comments within some of those that they get a little bit heated. It's almost like, you know, okay, they're lacing up the boxing gloves, but it doesn't take long, you know, for the piece to be fall upon that area, and, you know, people finally might get to the point of agreeing to disagree. But you're right. I like it, too, because it grounds us in the Word. It forces us back into the Word, which we should be in anyway, to, you know, explore what we read, what Christ is telling us through it, to make our opinions solid based on what God's Word says. So that's important stuff. Well, Chris, it's been so great having you on the show tonight. You know, we'll just continue to pray for that ministry that you're getting out there in regards to the church plant, and we'll have to have you come back on again sometime.
Thank you, my friend. I'd love to.
Well, folks, like I say each and every week, you know, grab the book that the good Lord gives to all of us and hold your family close and read it together. Learn that path that he has for you to do some big things for the kingdom. And folks, we'll be here again next Tuesday at Christian Devotion Speak Up with Dawn Jordan. And she's a singer. It's been a while since I've had a musician. So it'll be a great time. Folks, God bless your week.